Welcome back in to the Godly Young Men podcast. We are on episode 90. We are very grateful that you are joining us, either watching or listening. 10 episodes away from 100. We still have not brainstormed what we want to do special for our 100th episode yet.
We'll get there.
We better get on that. But yeah. We've got a scintillating episode for you guys today.
Nice.
No, really, I think this is going to be one of the more practical, useful episodes that we've had. And we've talked about a lot about what it means to be a godly young man. Perhaps this episode is maybe top five as far as most important to what it means to be a godly young man. So, Joe, you take us away on what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, so shout out to my sister Rachel. Actually, she's the one. She does listen, and we do have a few female listeners. And so shout out to all of them, but specifically to my sister. She's the one that gave me this idea and said, hey, what if you did one on prayer life, how to pray, you know, what we should be praying for, what that looks like, things
very
like that.
Very nuts and bolts episode.
Yeah,
prayer,
exactly. Yeah. And we thought, and she goes, if you've already done it, you know, don't worry about it. And I thought, yeah, I think we did. And then I started looking back, like, I don't think we have. So we decided to do one specifically on our prayer life. I don't know how we got to episode 90 without specifically discussing this.
I think we talked about it here and there, but never devoted a full episode.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where we are today. But we have discussed the importance of being a strong spiritual leader, having a strong spiritual life. On plenty of our podcasts, we devoted a specific podcast to how to study your Bible. But we haven't talked much about this. And we really do think that a prayer life, a thriving prayer life, is pivotal to be a godly young man, because it's one thing, like, you can read your Bible and go away, and okay, that's helpful, but if you're not convening with God, with the Almighty, then you are going to struggle in your spiritual life. And I think it's just essential to have a good walk with God, which is essential to be godly. And I mean, you look at every major character in the Bible pretty much prays. Jesus obviously is praying, Moses and Abraham, yeah, and Elijah, and they're all talking with God. This is something we should be about as godly young men.
Well, from a personal perspective, too, this is by far the area of my spiritual life that I have struggled with the most when it comes to consistency, when it comes to just not necessarily being good at it, but like getting it done, I guess, essentially. And not that you need to treat it as a checklist. You absolutely should not treat it as a checklist. But like, I feel like I've had good Bible study habits. I feel like I've had good Bible reading habits. Obviously, go to worship, Bible class. Like, those things are not that difficult, but man, prayer for some reason is difficult, whether it's a time thing. And I don't know, for a lot of young men, it's just a kind of a mental obstacle of like just talking into the ether, so to speak. Like, we've both been raised in the church, so it's a little bit different, but there's still an element of like, I'm just kind of talking here. And so I think a lot of young men probably have a lot of questions about prayer, and this is probably a struggle for a lot of young men. Specifically, the other thing too is we are in a iPad kid, TikTok society where we're searching for a dopamine hit every 2 minutes. And so even a 3-minute prayer for somebody is like, wow, that's going to, you know, you're going to fall asleep, you're going to get bored. So I think this is really relevant for us.
You sit in church sometimes, you got the old guy who gets up there and literally says like a 5-minute prayer. And usually like 30 seconds in, you're kind of like looking around like, he's really going longer than, you know what I mean? And I've trained my mind.
And then
mind
by 3 minutes, you're like, all right, bro, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Let's start checking. No, just don't check your watch during the prayer. I've gotten better at staying engaged. But yes, that was a struggle for me to stay engaged at longer prayers, including my own long prayers. And so this is an oft neglected part, I think, of the spiritual life. And like you said, maybe it's due to the kind of weirdness of I'm just talking to God. I don't hear him back. And so, well, you're supposed to read your Bible and
reading your Bible is so much more tangible and physical.
Correct. And I hate to say it, but it's a lot more fun to me. Like, I look at Bible study as kind of solving puzzles, and you're putting things together and you're exploring the Word of God and seeing things you've never seen before. And it's like, whoa, this is incredible. And it gets you pumped. There are certain people that are fantastic. Like, prayer warriors do get pumped at the thought of prayer. When you're not a prayer warrior, it's kind of like, I need to do it. I need to do it, right? You know, kind of pop yourself on the wrist. Like, okay, you need to get your prayer done each day. It shouldn't be that way. We want thriving prayer lives where it is something that we are honestly thinking about doing. So there are two different types of prayer we're going to get to here in just a bit, that I think we need to have both types of prayer. But before we get to that, I think it may be good just for us to discuss like how to pray, because we may have listeners on here who, maybe you're young, maybe you don't come from a strong Christian background, whatever that looks like, and we still think it's incredibly important to pray. And so, Will, I wonder if you can get us into here just maybe the first few that we have on the outline as to how we ought to pray.
Yeah, for sure. So I think a lot of people are more concerned, and I think I'm skipping a little bit, but I think it's important as we're starting this, might get concerned with making sure that their words are exactly right. First question Joe has on here is like, do you have to say dear God specifically? And I would, two sides of this. One, I would challenge godly young men to understand that anytime they are approaching the throne of God in prayer, you don't do it cavalierly. Right. You don't do it without reverence. You don't do it without awe. You don't do it without thinking of like, wow, I am literally talking to the all-powerful creator of the universe. Yep. I don't get to just kind of, you know, waltz up to him, you know, metaphorically like, hey, buddy, how's it going? Like, no, you're talking to God here.
There's no daddy.
Right.
Yeah, things like
that. At the same time, I would also encourage godly young men not to get too tight, you know, like too focused on, am I using the right words? Do I sound, specifically you see this with public prayer of like guys that try to sound really good. And so like with this first question, do you have to say dear God? You don't have to use those exact words. You can, you know, Jesus addressed him as our Father in heaven, Heavenly Father. You know, I don't think there's a script that you have to use. Again, I would caution you against being too irreverent. But no, I don't think there's any script. My son Jackson is 3, learning to pray. He always starts his prayers with just Father. And I don't know where he learned it because I don't necessarily do that. sometimes I do, I guess, but he just says Father and then he goes into the prayer. It's really funny, but
love it.
So that's the words thing is big. Don't get too tied in or too focused on, are you using the right words? I think your prayer, the one thing I will say is I do think you should think about the words you're using.
Yeah.
Because what you can get into with prayer, this is where I've fallen into specifically with like nighttime prayer or morning prayer, whatever, is I just pray for the same things over and over again. And I'm not concentrated on what words am I saying. Am I praying for this? Because you can pray for the same things. Like obviously I'm always going to pray for my family, pray for my success at work, pray for, you know, whatever. But are you just kind of going through the motions? Are you just being habitual about it, not really thinking? Or are you getting creative with your words? I like that example, or I like that line a lot. So think about the words you use is what I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. I have on here as well a mix of praise, thanks, request, and supplication. You can have a prayer that is one of each, or you can blend it in your prayer. But when you're going to pray, praise God. And if you don't know how to praise, I also have on here, pray through the Psalms. Look at the way that David praises God, and he calls him our rock or our refuge, fortress, you know, things like that. And then in other times, it's, you know, his loving kindness or whatever it may be that is kind of the central theme. What I would suggest is, if you are praying, let's say you need God to heal somebody. He is the great physician, right? He is powerful overall. And so we praise him in that vein, or at least this is how I do it. You praise him along the lines of maybe the way you need him. And this is just giving all glory and praise to God, because whether he heals that person or not, he still is the great physician. This is why we always pray for God's will to be done, because sometimes it's not God's will to heal a certain person in the hospital. And that can really devastate us, where it's like, man, I poured my heart and soul out in prayer and God
really
didn't
wanted
listen.
This to happen.
I really wanted this to happen. Jesus also wanted to be spared at some point, you know, however that looks in the garden when he says, let this cup pass from me. There's something that he's wanting to pass from him, and there's debate on what that is. Will and I have gone back and forth on what we think that is.
It's an interesting debate.
It's a very interesting debate. But the point is, he says, thy will be done. Meaning,
if you want the correct view, then just message me and I'll let you know what it is. I'm just kidding.
I'm sure you'll give both sides and they'll come to the right
conclusion.
Yeah, of course. No, but Jesus himself prays for God's will to be done. So every time you're going to pray, make sure, I mean, you don't necessarily have to say those words,
but have that perspective.
Of, I am praying for this. This is my prayer. This is my supplication, my request. And the supplication is just this deep longing for something. God, I really want this girl, or whatever it may be, for young guys. Like they may say, I'm really interested in this girl. Show me the way. Light my path, whatever it may be, so that I may see what you're wanting out of that. Okay, then pray that you might align yourself with God's will. And if God's will is for you to be with that girl, you'll be with the girl. And if God's will is not, then pray that you might be willing to accept that. But yes, having prayer, or praise rather, thanksgiving to God, thank you for this. Don't forget to thank God. That's a big one. Don't forget to thank him for the things that he's done. Even if he hasn't acted in the way you wanted him to, he's still good. We're still going to praise him, and we're still going to thank him.
Don't treat God like a genie in a bottle.
Right.
Like, all right, God, here's my like Santa Claus. Here's my list of things that I really, really want. All right, you know, thanks. Talk to you next time.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely not. Like, that's such
it's easy to do.
I try to be very conscious when I'm praying of, like, there's always going to be things that I'm asking for. But am I focusing on him? Am I focusing on his glory? Am I focusing on just how grateful I am that he's even given me, you know, everything he has given me, family, job, all these things? Like, it's okay to ask. It's okay to request. It's okay to, I mean, he wants us to.
Yeah.
But don't do it the Santa Claus style of, all right, God, here's all the things that I want, you know, moving on to the next thing. Yeah.
What I will say before we move on to cultivating a strong prayer life, you may not have all the words. The Spirit will make supplication. This is Romans 8. With groanings too deep for words, I think it's verse 26 and following of Romans chapter 8. With groanings too deep for words, right? Meaning, I don't exactly know how to pray. Maybe I don't exactly know what I need or what words to use. The Spirit will help in that way. And so if you're praying with the right attitude, as will God at, and with the right reverence, I do think that God, through the Spirit, will make supplication. Jesus has taken the prayer up kind of as the mailman, so to speak. As I said, pray through the Psalms. That's an easy one. If you want to learn how to pray, go to the book of Psalms and look at some of those and the way he talks to God, pray through those. Then you can look at the Lord's Prayer, which is Matthew 6, I believe. Yep.
It's like 10 through something. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. So look at the Lord's Prayer. That's a nice and easy one because it's going to show there's spiritual elements to that. There's physical elements.
There's praise. There's all the things Joe talked about.
All these things, right? We're requesting these things. We're confessing our sins to God, things like that. And then you can look at Paul's prayers. Paul has several prayers. Ephesians has two separate prayers in chapter 1 and the end of chapter 3. I don't know, is there a prayer in Galatians? I can't remember if there's a prayer in Galatians, but there's Philippians and Colossians and Romans. And, you know, I pray that these might be the case. And a lot of times that's actually the outline of the book if you're studying, but that's for study stuff. But either way, prayer. I mean, take notes from Paul. So, well, I want you to get us into how to cultivate, though. This may be how to pray on the nuts and bolts end of it. And if you do have questions, please let us know. But how do we cultivate a strong prayer life? Now we know how to approach God, but that doesn't mean that we're good at doing it.
So I would love to. This is your outline, and you did a great job of breaking these up, so I don't want to take credit for these. I'll let you intro real fast, and I guess I can take the first part of it. But I love the way that you separated these two, because I do think they are different. So yeah, go get into that for a
minute. So I look at it, I'm sitting there doing the outline, and it's like, not all prayer is the same. It is the same in the fact that we're talking to God, but the way I broke it down is intentional prayer and constant prayer. Because I was talking with somebody recently, he says, we were talking about getting down on our knees and praying, and he says, I don't remember the last time I did it, but I'm always talking to God in prayer. Now I'm kind of going throughout my day. And those are the two different types. Is one is very intentional. You're on your knees, you set
basically,
aside.
You're not doing anything else.
Correct. You set aside 5, 10, 30 minutes, whatever it may be, to just convene with God. You've got your list in front of you. We'll go into that a little bit. And then the other one is, you know what, I'm driving down the street and I happen to see somebody and I'm just starting to pray to God about that person, that soul, or I see a car wreck and I'm praying to God, or I'm walking into work and I'm praying that it might be a good day. And no, I wasn't on my knees. It wasn't super intentional, but it is constant. And that's kind of the pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5. So with that general idea in mind, will get us into specifically starting on intentional prayer.
I would say it's important, I'd say it's important to not put all your eggs in one basket or the other. I think, I don't know, Joe, maybe you disagree with me. I think you need to have both of these in your life as opposed to, well, you know, I don't really have time to just do it, you know, in one thing, 5 minutes, but I do it throughout my day and that's pretty much all I do. I don't know that that's great. Right. On the other hand, you know, only praying to God when you have 5-10 minutes to spare, might not be great either. So I think you should probably make room for both here. But let's start with the intentional prayer very quickly. Everything you've already said, but it is kind of like I'm going to take my 10 minutes, however long, 5, 10, 15 minutes, and I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to get down on my knees. I'm going to maybe have my list in front of me. I'm going to, my mind is 100% going to be focused on talking to God, making these requests, praising God, all these things. Typically, I would recommend doing that in the morning rather than at night. I used to be somebody who's like, all right, I'm going to do my nightly Bible reading and my nightly prayer. Now, there's no way that I could ever do that because, like, the day is you're just exhausted by the end of the day, typically. Yep. I know godly young men that are, like, 17, 18, you got way more energy, I guess, than we do late at night. But I think that's something that I would recommend. It's what we talked about before. Starting your day with God is really important. Yep. So if you have time in the morning, 5-10 minutes, I would highly recommend that. Joe, you've got on here start small. I would agree with this. So he put start small, 5 minutes. What people can get overwhelmed by, myself included, is like, man, so because you hear about these people that, man, they'll pray for 20, 30 minutes, and that's overwhelming. It's like, 20 minutes? Are you serious? Like, I never talked to one person for 20 minutes straight. And so I would caution people against being overwhelmed. Don't shortchange it. Don't get up there and do 30 seconds worth and say, all right, I'm good. But as long as you're thinking about the words you're using, you're thinking about what you're saying, you're thinking about the people you want to pray for and the things, like, don't put a timer on it. But also, I wouldn't say, you know, don't check, oh, man, I still got 5 minutes left. Let me keep going. Probably not the best way to do that, especially if you're new to this. If this is something that you're not very proficient in, then starting small is perfectly reasonable, I'd say.
Well, and with the starting small, sometimes it's like, I haven't talked to God in so long that I know when I get on my knees. It's very much like a friend, right? You go a long time without a friend, and when you get on the phone, it's a 2-hour conversation.
It used to be us whenever you lived in Colorado.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, do I have it? I don't have time for 2 hours. And I know it's going to be a long time. I have a friend who lives in Iowa and haven't talked in a long time. We'll email occasionally. But last couple times around the phone, 4-hour conversations just to catch up. And it's like, I don't have 4 hours.
So it's a deterrent from starting the conversation. Correct. Yeah.
And sometimes that's the way it is with God, where it can be a deterrent of, I got so many things that, man, it's been too long. Start small and make a list. I think this is, I'm going to jump down the list here on ours. But make a list of things you want to pray for. I would say keep track of answered prayers as well with the list, to put a check mark by them or whatever, things to praise God for, thank Him for, things like that. But make a list of things you want to pray for, including praise words. I want to praise God for this, or I want to thank God for this, or I want to pray specifically for this, and that can keep our mind engaged. So I'm sitting there, and no, you don't have to have your eyes closed the entire prayer. You can look up, like, praying through the list. My sister, same sister actually, I think, got me a 30-day prayer card thing that I really find helpful. One is for evangelism, one's for the church around the world, one's for your neighbors, one's for your family, one's for opportunities, things like that. So 30 days straight of things that you can pray for, that can be a real help. And it's got like 3 bullet points underneath. And then, you know, I have my prayer list or bulletin from church is another thing you can pray through. So just having something in front of you makes it that much more intentional. When you get down on your knees, sometimes the easiest thing to do is like, what do I pray for? I had it like yesterday, I had things I needed to pray for, but by the time I get to 6 a.m., man, I'm groggy and I can't really think about what I'm going to pray for. Write all these things down on a list, bring it to God. Another thing I should have put on the list, get your phone out of the room. Any distractions, sure, tablet, phone, whatever it may be, where you're in the middle of a deep prayer, like, bzzz, you're like, oh, no, okay, I'm not going to check
that. Work? Or
bzzz, 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 like, oh, what is going on? And then next thing you know, you're at, no. Remove the phone. Get in a quiet spot, go in the closet, whatever it may be, and pick a specific spot, I would say. This is something like War Room, I think was the movie,
mm-hmm.
Kendrick Brothers' movie, and the War Room was her going in and praying, and it was a neat concept.
It was her closet.
Her closet, yeah, exactly. Pick a specific spot where this is going to be my prayer spot. I can get a little cushion for my knees if I'm going to be there for a long time, whatever it may be, but that can help as well. The next one actually on this is something you've talked about before, yeah. And I actually really appreciate this point because this is kind of a, it's easy to just say it in our mind and it kind of gets lost into the ethos and like, yeah, I'm praying to God. And then at some point I stopped praying to God. My mind shifted to like whatever else I have to do. When did I start making that shift? And so this next one kind of helps with that.
Saying it out loud, I think is really key, specifically for this intentional prayer, because you're already going to be by yourself, odds are, you're already going to be devoting your time to it. Saying it out loud has always helped me because I do similar to exactly what you're talking about. I find myself, if I'm saying it in my head, it can become very easy to think less about the words I'm using because I'm like, well, God can hear my thoughts. And so He kind of knows what concept I'm going for. And so it, for me, it just forces me to be less intentional. But then also, your mind can very much drift to, oh man, how did my fantasy football player do last night? Or, you know, like, oh, I've got this big assignment due today. I got to really get started on that. Or, oh man, what are we doing for dinner again tonight? Like, if you're keeping everything up in your head, I mean, it is so, I find this difficult in public prayer specifically when I'm trying to focus on everything that the guy who's leading the prayer is saying. It's just, your mind starts wandering.
Yep.
Well, when you're doing intentional prayer by yourself, saying it out loud really prevents that. Because again, you're having to think about, what am I saying? What are the words that are coming out of my mouth? So saying it out loud helps me a lot, specifically if you're in your car driving by yourself. People might give you odd looks, but I mean, probably not. Like, don't worry about that.
There's Bluetooth these days.
People might think you're on the phone. Pray out loud. I think it helps you just avoid distraction and avoid your mind wandering so much. The last thing that we have on here, we already talked about this one, is getting on your knees if you're able to.
Posture matters.
Yeah.
There is a reverence to it. There is a, I don't get on my knees for a whole lot of other things, right? I mean, I may be like, I don't know, cleaning the floor or something. Yeah. I'm not on my knees very often. So when I get on my knees, there is a posture of, okay, I'm coming before
humility,
the Almighty, right? The great I am. There's a humble element to God. I am humbly approaching you in this moment. And that matters. It really triggers that. The same with talking out loud. There's a method to these things that helps the intentional prayer feel intentional, feel like we're really engaged with it. So start small, build up from there.
Yeah, so let's talk about constant prayer. Yep. So this is, Joe said it a second ago, Growing up, I was always, 1 Thessalonians 5 was 17, I think. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And growing up, I was always like, you mean I have to pray every single second of every single day?
Wait, I'm not praying while non-stop. I'm thinking about this.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Obviously, logically, that's not what Paul's saying. He's not saying that you have to be on your knees at all hours of the day. What Paul, to me, is talking about, and Joe can correct me if I'm wrong, much more of a prayerful mindset, much more of a prayerful perspective. Yep. I'm going throughout my day, and there's an opportunity to thank God. I thank him. There's an opportunity to pray for somebody just kind of very quickly in the moment. I take it. Constant prayerful mind. But this is what constant prayer really is it is more of a personal relationship where you're taking the time, because he's always with you. He can always hear you. So any spare second you get, any opportunity, I guess that's the best way that I'd put it. Any opportunity that you have to thank God, any opportunity that you have to praise God, driving down the road, see a beautiful sunset.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, God, that's beautiful. Thank you for blessing me with, it might take you 15 seconds. You didn't get down on your knees. You didn't have your list in front of you, but you were still praying to God and conscious of what God was doing for you. So you thanked him for that. I think that's really important to be able to do.
This is a big personal walk with God, a big part of the personal walk with God. Getting on the knees is very important because it's letting him know there's a time to be reverent and humble and intentional and everything else. This, yes, maintain reverence, of course, but at the same time, this seems more like the personal relationship back and forth of, man, God, thank you for that sunset. That is gorgeous, and that is the work of your hands. Thank you for letting me enjoy that. You know, it's just a constant reminder of like, man, God's in charge. God is good. He's watching over us. You know, these type of things. Talking to him throughout the day, I do this in session. Occasionally, there will be a client who brings something up, and it's like, whoa, you know, that came out of left field. Like, God, please give me wisdom to know how to handle this.
Yeah.
I tell you what, just about every time something opens up, something in my mind's like, okay, boom, 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 and we work through it, process through it, that's by the grace of God. But when I am praying to God, the key in this is he gets the glory. If I figured out on my own, it's like, boy, pat myself on the back, I'm pretty good.
Pretty big stuff.
When I give it over to God, like, I know that's him working in me. And if I didn't give it over to God, I still know it's him working in me. But this way, God gets all the glory, gets the praise, because he is working in our lives and we're allowing him to do so. That's what constant prayer allows for. It allows God to work in our lives consistently with us acknowledging he's working in our lives. Because again, it's him whether we acknowledge it or not, but this is what puts us in alignment with him to say, man, God is helping me. And again, in the present circumstances, we have a million and one things to thank him for, a million and one things to pray for him for. You're going to step into a test. Pray that God might give you some wisdom in that or whatever else. And then you score 60 on the test. You go, God didn't listen to me. No, he listened to you, just didn't study that. You know what I mean? But God's not going to work a miracle against your will, basically, because you didn't study. And that may be another part of this that we didn't have in the outline is, yes, you already mentioned the genie part. God also, it's not biblical, God helps those who help themselves, but there is a level of, like, I think some people...
He guides your steps, it implies that you're walking somewhere.
Correct. We're reading through, shout out Focus Plus, if you're not a member of Focus Plus. But we're doing the 365 Devos, Devo every single day, or most days. 360, sorry, yeah, we're missing a couple, but we're getting there, and we'll catch up at the end. But either way, I was just looking through this and how much God was willing to help the Israelites conquer the promised land and everything he did for them. That assumes they're still going out to battle.
Yep.
That assumed that they were still going out to conquer, that they had the faith to go conquer the Anakim.
They don't just get to sit back and God just wipes everybody out. Exactly. All right, now go ahead and go for it. Like, no, that's
when
not
God
how it worked.
Sent the hail and he's killing these armies of 100,000 people, that assumes they're still in battle with him. Like, he didn't step back and go, okay, you guys stay in your camp. Don't even get out of bed in the morning. You're fine. Just stay in your tents.
Yeah.
I got this. Like, you're going to go, and I'm going to help you while you're going.
So for modern-day godly young men terms, God, really, I pray that you'd help me find a job. And you never apply for anything. You never go interview. Like, no, that's not how it's going
to
work.
God, bring this woman my way, and you never talk to her. You
never talk to her, never pursue anybody. Like, just, you know, God, man, I really want to be financially secure one day. Never work very hard. You
don't
call out of work.
Savings,
like, that's kind of what we're talking about. I think that's a much-needed point, Joe. I'm really glad you brought that up, because God... The work that God does in our lives, and this is, say, well, is this really biblical? I think you can read this in the Bible, read this in the New Testament. The work that God does through us in our lives implies us, first of all, seeking his will, but then also acting upon it, and essentially like moving in a direction. And like I said, he guides our steps, implies that we're walking, we're not sitting down. So I think that's a really good point.
Yeah, it's easily forgotten, and I can forget that too, of, well, why isn't God doing this for me? Like, maybe I need to look around and see, are my feet moving? Am I moving in a specific direction? And if I am, and God doesn't want me to move in that direction, every door will close. And I guarantee you, every door will close. You go, boy, this isn't good. Okay, walk in a different direction. See if doors open. But start walking. Get busy doing something like that. But we would...
Yo, go ahead. I was just going to give my closing thoughts on this.
I was just going to say, you know, kind of go back to what Will said. You need both of these. Okay. Either one is good, but you need both to really be good at prayer, because one is going to be that personal walk throughout the day, and the other one's going to be that reverence of like really entreating God on behalf of something. You're not necessarily, I guess some people do, but praying through the bulletin or praying through all this list of 50 things, you're not really going to be doing that too much throughout the day, because you're living life throughout the day.
Yeah.
That's including God in every aspect of your life. And then when you're doing that, you'll find when you get down on your knees in the morning, I've been talking to God for the last 24 hours. Every chance I've gotten, I've been there. So it's a lot easier to get into that mindset of prayer. So do both of these, and you'll see your prayer life drastically get better, I think.
So practically speaking, one of the things that I'd recommend in my last tip here is, because I would imagine that a lot of our godly young men, maybe not, but I'd imagine a lot of you probably this intentional prayer of like setting aside 5-10 minutes, probably not in your daily routine yet. Yeah. If it is, great, keep it up. If it's not, well, here's what I'd recommend. I'm going to give you one very specific thing to do. If you have somewhere that you have to be every day, work, maybe you're in college, maybe you're at school, just leave 10 minutes earlier and get there, park in your spot 10 minutes earlier, and pray in your car. Mm. Maybe you got your Bible open, but you're able to talk out loud. I think it's great if you do it basically when you wake up. The problem with that is, specifically for us as young men who like to stay up late, we can be praying, you know, like you can fall asleep if you're doing it right when you wake up. If you can, I think that's even better. But you've had your drive to work, your drive to school. You've got, maybe if you're a coffee drinker, got your coffee, whatever. Just get there a little early and pray in your car. Yeah. I think that's something that would be really, really helpful if you're just trying to get into this habit. If you're able to get up and get on your knees and do it in the morning before you leave or whatever, I would highly recommend that. But not if you're going to be falling asleep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my only tip, I guess, that I would give.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. You look at, and you go, boy, that seems like a lot. Look, Muslims are willing to pray like, what, 3, 4, 5 different times a day?
I think it's 6 times a day.
Is it 6 times a day?
I think so.
Daniel prayed 3 different times a day, morning, noon, and night. There's power in that. There's power in, and he's seemingly praying on his knees in this intentional format 3 times a day. It can be done. We can structure our days where we can get at least a 5-minute prayer in. So
when I've said this, look for that. I'm sorry, I've said this before too. Like before you go and turn on your Netflix show, before you get on YouTube, before you do whatever you enjoy doing for fun from an entertainment perspective, mentally. Oh, have I talked to God today? Have I done my prayer? Have I done my prayer? Sounds bad, but like have I prayed today? Have I spent time with God in prayer today? If the answer is no, take your time then. Do it then, and then turn on your Netflix.
Yeah, don't use the excuse of too busyness if you spent time on Twitter, spent time, well, X, I guess, spent time on Snapchat, spent time on TikTok, spent time on YouTube, whatever.
I promise you're not too busy. I promise.
Correct. And this isn't to scold. As we said at the very beginning, this is something both of us are working on. This is a difficult thing.
For sure.
I talk to people all day for my job. It can be very difficult to sit down and basically feel like I'm talking to myself. I know I'm not. I know I'm talking.
When your brain's fried by the end of the day,
but yeah, your brain's fried. So it's really important in the morning, and I find that to be the easiest time to do these things. So do what works best for you. Make it intentional, whether it's in your car, on your knees, at your home, whatever it is. We strongly encourage that, but try to do both of them. And if you have any other tips that you want to share, any other things on your mind or things that you've done to help you, or a book specifically, maybe. I know in the denominational worlds, or like Anglican has a common book of prayer, things like that, that can help people understand a little bit more. Not that we're Anglican at all, but those type of things can help guide people in prayer.
For sure.
So if you have a specific book that you've been using that helped, let us know in the comments or whatever it may be. But any other thoughts?
I don't think so. We were at the end of our outline at like the 22, 23 minute mark, and then both of us just kept talking for another 5 or 6 minutes. Yeah. Nothing new there. We will wrap right there. This has been episode 90 of the Godly Amen podcast. We will be back next week. Thank you so much for watching and or listening.